So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 18, the residence of Jambudvipa offer prayers, text number 32. Zirayujam Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jarayujam Svejajam Andajodbidam. Characharam devarshi pitri bhutam aindriyam. Yau kanchiti shaila sarit samudra. Vipa grahar chet yabideya ekaha. Jarayujam svedajam andajodbidam. Characharam devarshi pitri bhutam aindriyam. Yau kamchiti shaila sarit samudra. Dripa grahar chaitya videya ekaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you manifest your different energies in countless forms, as living entities born from wombs, from eggs, from perspiration, as plants and trees that grow out of the earth, as all living entities both moving and standing, including the demigods, the learned sages, and the pitas, as outer space, as the higher planetary system containing the heavenly planets, as well as the planet Earth with its hills, rivers, seas, oceans, and islands. Indeed, all the stars and planets are simply manifestations of your different energies. But originally, you are one without a second. Therefore, there is nothing beyond you. This entire causing manifestation is therefore not false, but is simply a temporary manifestation of your inconceivable energy. Purport. This verse completely rejects the theory of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, which states that spirit or Brahman is real, whereas the manifested material world with its great variety of things is false. Nothing is false. One thing may be permanent and another temporary, but both the permanent and the temporary are facts. For example, if someone becomes angry for a certain period, no one can say that his anger is false. It is simply temporary. Everything we experience in our daily lives is of this same character. It is temporary, but real. The different kinds of living entities coming from various sources are very clearly described in this verse. Some are born from a womb, and some, like certain insects, from humans' perspiration. Others hatch from eggs, and still others sprout from the earth. A living entity takes birth under different circumstances according to his past activities, karma. Although the body of the living entity is material, it is never false. No one will accept that argument that since a person's material body is false, murder has no repercussions. Our temporary bodies are given to us according to our karma, and we must remain in our given bodies to enjoy the pains and pleasures of life. Our bodies cannot be called false, they are only temporary. In other words, the energy of the Supreme Lord is as permanent as the Lord himself, although his energy is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. As summarized in the Vedas, Sarvan Kvadidang Brahma, everything is Brahman.
Vandeham.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatandita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, you know, people are pretty miserable. I mean, this material world, let's face it, it's a rotten place. It's a horrible place. I mean, it's hell. It really is, you know. Once someone wrote me, they said, is there such a place as hell? Someone wrote me, is there such a place as hell? I said, yes, we're already there. We're there right now. We're living in hell right now. So, the impersonalists, they don't want to live in this hell. The sense gratifiers, they don't want to live in this hell. So the sense gratifiers, they try to increase their sense gratification and drown out the hell by sense enjoyment. And the Mayavadis, they want to deny it. This world is false. Therefore, I'm not really suffering because this world is false. Even this song has come into popular, this philosophy has come into popular songs as well. It's like the Beatles, they had one popular song called Strawberry Fields Forever. In that song, they are singing, nothing is real. So this idea that everything is false, this whole material existence is false, is a very common philosophy which is floating around the society. They don't want to face the reality. Therefore they deny it. This is like the proverbial ostrich who's being chased by a predator. Proverbial ostrich bird, that big bird with the scaly legs. The ostrich. Yeah. So the ostrich is being chased by a predator, and he was so scared he buried his head in the sand, you see. So he solved the problem. There's no predator coming to kill me. He buries his head in the sand, you see. But was that the head being buried in the sand save him from the predator? No, it makes him more vulnerable to the predator. If he's running, that makes it more difficult for the predator. But if he's standing in one place with his head buried in the sand, the predator can immediately come and jump on him and eat him, you see. So these Mayavadis who say Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mitcha, they're like ostriches. They simply want to deny the suffering condition of material existence. Therefore, the predator is coming. Mrityu sarva harashtraham. Krishna is coming in the form of death to devour them. And their philosophy of denying the material sufferings will not save them. They want to say that death is false. But death is not false. Death is as sure as death. It will devour everyone. Kalos me, lokacheya krit. I am time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. So instead of artificially trying to deny the material existence, the devotee sees the material existence for exactly what it is. It's an arrangement of the Lord to help the conditioned soul to come back to his original position as a servant of the Lord. Just like the state government, they build a prison. They want to reform the criminals to make them law-abiding citizens once again. They don't want to keep them as criminals. It's very expensive to maintain prisoners in the prison. They would rather bring those prisoners out and train them how to become productive members of the society, tax-paying citizens. The prisoners are simply bleeding the tax money from the tax-paying citizen. Especially in the U.S. where they have very nice prisons. Especially the federal prisons are very nice. You know, relatively speaking. They're very expensive to maintain. In fact, we know one inmate, he was in the state prison, which wasn't very nice, so he wrote a letter threatening the President of the United States that they would transfer him to the federal prison. Oh, it's all right. It's an interesting side point that the federal prisons in the U.S. are much nicer than the state prisons. Federal is the U.S. government prison.
And state?
There are states, 50 states, and each they all have their own prisoners as well, you see. But their prisons are not as nice, especially in Texas. Those prisons are known for being very austere. So one inmate, he was in the Texas state prison, where the prisoners are, the treatment is very hard on the prisoners. So he wrote a letter threatening to kill the President of the United States. What can he do? He's a prisoner. He can't kill him. But if you threaten the president, it's a federal offense. So he was transferred to the federal prison where he gets better treatment. So the point is, the government, it's very expensive to maintain these prisoners. It's extremely expensive. The government wants them to become law-abiding citizens who pay taxes, work hard and pay taxes, you see. So in the same way, Krishna does not want the living entities to remain in this material world so he can punish them. Krishna is not a punishing God. He is all-merciful God. He has sent us here to help us get over our illusion that we're the Supreme. So that we can come back to being His loyal servants once again. So denying the suffering condition is not going to help us. One should honestly say, I'm suffering. I don't want to suffer. Why am I suffering? I shouldn't be suffering. It doesn't seem natural. Why am I suffering? So how can I get out of this suffering? Some people say, well, it's unavoidable. You just have to suffer. You just got to be tough and take it. But I don't like that philosophy. I want to be without any suffering at all, you see. It just doesn't seem right that we should have to suffer. And actually it isn't right. Suffering is an unnatural condition. To be in a state of transcendental bliss, that is the natural, normal state of the consciousness. Just like when the water falls from the sky in the rain, it is pure distilled water. But when it falls to the earth and it mixes with the soil, it becomes muddy water. So our original pure consciousness, it is completely free of all dirt. It is only because we have come in contact with this material nature. Tamagun, sattvagun, rajagun. It is only due to contact with the modes of nature that we are presently in a suffering condition. So just like you can take one of these water purifiers, you can put dirty water in one end and get clean water out on the other end. So God has given us a consciousness purifier. If you put your dirty consciousness into this consciousness purifier, it comes out as clean consciousness on the other end. That consciousness cleaner is the Bhakti Yoga system. So one should become a master of this Bhakti Yoga system. This Hare Krishna movement is not simply a place for, you know, eating and socializing. This is a place where you can learn what is the system of how I can purify my consciousness. Make it completely free of all the dirt. No lust, no anger, no greed, no madness, no illusion, and no envy. This is why a spiritual master is required. Spiritual master knows he has mastered the art of purifying the consciousness. The neophyte does not know how to purify his consciousness. Therefore, the spiritual master and senior devotees are there to train the neophytes how to purify their consciousness. This is the highest self-interest of every single devotee. That I must master this science of purifying my consciousness. Why is it in the highest self-interest of a neophyte devotee? Because every single impurity which is still sitting there in the heart is a cause of misery. I mean, do you want to keep suffering? Or do you want to come completely, absolutely ecstatic 24 hours a day? It's up to you. Prabhu and Matajis, do you want to remain in a suffering condition, or you want to become completely, totally ecstatic? If you want to become completely, totally ecstatic, then you must master this process of purifying your consciousness. It is described in full detail in the wonderful book, The Nectar of Devotion, which is translated into Lithuanian. Please take full advantage of this book, The Nectar of Devotion. Study it carefully, especially the first section. Study it very, very carefully and see how you can properly apply each and every instruction given in this book. The three most essential items given by Rupa Goswami are this. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. And follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. If you can do these three things, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and then strictly obey the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. By these three activities, your consciousness will become purified. You become free from all that dirt that's just been tormenting your soul for millions of births. It's a fact. That dirt has been going with us lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We have dirt in our hearts right now, not only from this lifetime, but from many, many previous lifetimes as well. That's why we got a material body. Because we still had dirt from previous lifetimes. So if you want to really relish the bliss, if you want to taste that nectar that's sweeter than the sweetest honey, then you have to get rid of the dirt. This system of getting rid of the dirt, it is described in the Sanskrit language, anartha nivritti. So, kindly understand, what is this system of bhakti? By achieving the stage of anartha nivritti, of getting the dirt cleansed out of one's heart, then he achieves a state known as nishta, which means he's a fixed up devotee, solidly fixed. And then when the devotee is solidly fixed, nishta, he goes to the next stage, which is ruchi. Ruchi means he tastes the sweetest nectar at every minute. And when that nectar is multiplied 1 million times, that is called asakti, or intoxication, transcendental intoxication. And then one goes to bhava, the volcanic eruptions of transcendental ecstasy within the heart. And one, which is the preliminary stage of pure love of God. And then when that love of God becomes completely mature, that is called Krishna Prema. But kindly note, to achieve all these advanced stages, you have to go through anartha nivritti. You got to clean the dirt out of the heart through the system known as Vairi Bhakti. The rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. Rise early in the morning. Take bath. Decorate the body with tilak. Chant Hare Krishna Japa Mala. Become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Take only Krishna Prasadam. Always be absorbed in reading, chanting, and preaching as much as possible. In this way, the system that Prabhupada has so mercifully given us, it will gradually free you of all the dirt in the heart, so that you can progress to the highest stage of pure Krishna prema. So we have a few minutes left. I can ask now if there's any questions.
Aš noriu paklausti, kūrų, tas būtent prisirišimas prie sesers, tas materialus kūnas šios ir panašiai, tai tas, ką man daryti reikėtų? Tiesiog paleisti sesį tiek, ar tiesiog bandyti ją įteikti prieš metį mokyti Krišnos
tam. Yesterday I told to my sister that I am going to Krishna temple and she become very sad.
Who's this?
Her sister.
Oh, her sister.
So, what I should do? I should forget my sister or try to explain about Krishna to her or what to do?
The sister tells her she should not come or what?
Yes, she is told that if you are going to this, so you are not my sister.
If you go to the Hare Krishna temple, you're no longer my sister. Ask her this, my dear sister, do you want me to be happy or do you want me to be miserable? Ask her like that, do you want me to be happy or do you want me to be miserable? If you want me to be miserable, then you are not my sister. Huh?
I missed.
Huh?
I'm not here.
Tell her, ask your sister, do you want me to be happy or do you want me to be miserable? If she says, well, I want you to be miserable, then you say, yes, that's right, you're not my sister. And if you want me to be happy, then this is what makes me happy, going to the Hare Krishna temple. If you truly want me to be happy, then you will wish me well to go to the Hare Krishna temple. Because that's what makes me happy. If you don't want to be happy, you're not my sister. You're simply a rascal. Okay.
It is said that we should cry when we chanting japa, we should cry for Krishna mercy. But if I sometimes chant and I just get pleasure from this and not crying for mercy but just enjoying this pleasure, simple listening mantra and enjoying, it is good or bad?
It's natural that you will enjoy the mantra. Jūs chanting Hare Krishna is the supreme enjoyment. Of course you're going to enjoy it. If you're properly chanting, then you'll enjoy like anything, Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada has ordered us, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So if you're tasting the bliss of the holy name, then that's wonderful. But when you don't taste the bliss, if you stop chanting, then there's something wrong. That's the key. You see. If you're feeling great bliss, there's nothing wrong. It's very good. It means you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. But if you stop when the bliss isn't there, then that means you're selfish. But if you continue chanting, whether the chanting is sweet or whether it's bitter, I still keep chanting. Because Guru and Krishna want me to chant. I do it for their pleasure. Then you're properly situated. You had a question?
Ar kitokių filosofijų studijavimas, šiaip nagrinėjimas, gali sulėtinti arba trukdyti visą tą valymosi procesą praktikuojant bhakti jogą?
If I study different philosophies, can it make more slowly my progress in Krishna bhakti?
Are you studying in the school there? You have courses on philosophy?
Personally.
Prabhupada told us if we want to write some article to compare Krishna consciousness with other philosophies, we can do that. It's all right.
Prabhupada sakė, kad jeigu mes skaitame kažkokį tai straipsnį, norėtume palyginti jį su Krishna sąmonė, tai nėra blogai.
But if you're simply wanting to read different philosophies to become a great philosopher, then you're off the track.
Bet jeigu paprasčiausiai studijuojate įvairias filosofijas tam, kad taptumėte didžiu filosofu, tai nieko gero.
And there's no harm if you read the other philosophy to see how they indeed are wrong.
Nieko blogai, jeigu jūs studijuojate kitas filosofijas, kad pamatyti, kas jis yra blogai.
Just like Prabhupada was claiming all these other gurus, they are Mayavadi, they claim to be God, they're all bogus. So one day I went to one bookstore and I looked and I took notes on all these different gurus, all their different teachings.
In
this way I acquired concrete evidence that what Prabhupada was saying was correct. I could see how each one of these philosophers, they were rascals. Actually, there's a book in English. It hasn't been translated in Lithuanian, where Prabhupada analyzes all the different philosophies from a Krishna conscious perspective. He goes through all the famous philosophers. Socrates, Plato, Heidegger, Freud, all the big names in philosophy. He analyzes their philosophy from the Krishna conscious viewpoint. Nietzsche said, God is dead. But then God can say, Nietzsche is dead. So who won the competition? You see? Nietzsche is dead. And God is still living. So they may make their philosophy, God is dead.
And
they will be killed by God. So if you're studying their philosophy to see how they are wrong, and in what ways they agree with Krishna consciousness, and that's all right.
Tad norėdami analizuoti, skaitydami kitas filosofijas, norėdami analizuoti, kurie teisingai, kurie...
Just like I opened a preaching center at the University of Oklahoma back in 1980. And I wanted to have full facility to preach on the campus. So to do that, I enrolled as a student. And I took a course on Greek philosophy. It turned out the professor was an old friend of Mukunda Maharaj, one of our sannyasis. And I had an interesting relationship with the professor, actually. I would meet with him, and I would teach him the highest philosophy. But we studied all these, the Greek philosophers, and I found the early Greek philosophers were very much connected with the Vedic teachings. And this was confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. The most famous of the early Greek philosophers was Socrates. And he was challenging the illusioned or imperfect philosophy of the Athenian society. He was always challenging their imperfect philosophical conclusions. He was very expert in debate. He could defeat everybody. Nobody could argue with Socrates. Everybody was defeated. He showed everyone that they were a fool, you see. And the government couldn't stand it. They said, he's corrupting our youth. He's turning them into anti-establishment people. Like the 60s movement, the anti-establishment movement in the U.S.? You know, in the countercultural movement, well, you all weren't here, but yeah. You weren't there, so yeah. They saw him as a threat, that he was turning the minds of the youth against the established government. So they decided to put him to death. And they offered him a poison called hemlock. He had to drink that hemlock poison. And they respected him as a great intellectual, actually. So they said, how would you like us to bury you? And he said, you'll have to catch me first. He knew that he wasn't his body, is he? So Prabhupada said he was the true philosopher in the Western world, Socrates. He was Brahman realized, Socrates. Is he? So the early Greek philosophers, they believed in reincarnation, they were against meat eating. In many ways they were aligned with the Vedic culture. And actually we have learned from Prabhupada that there was a Vedic king. A king from India started the Greek Empire. It was an Indian king. The Greek and Roman empires were started by Indian kings. That's why you have all the different demigods in Greek and Roman. They have all the big pantheon of demigods. So you can see they're a spin-off of the Vedic culture. But then, so Socrates, he had a disciple named Plato who was very dedicated to Socrates' teachings. Plato. But then Plato had a disciple named Aristotle. And he deviated from Plato's philosophy and Socrates' philosophy. He introduced empiricism. The empiricism, like modern science, empirical science. So ever since Aristotle, Western philosophy has been in a state of deep, dark delusion. It's very dry. It's very tedious. They bend your mind 1,008 ways like a pretzel. You know the pretzels?
Yeah.
It's a type of snack. They take it and they twist this way and then they fry it. It's called a pretzel. Oh boy. I got to learn a few Lithuanian words, I guess. It's like... Anyone know what is pretzel? Any of our Lithuanian... You know what a pretzel is? Akshaya Krishna. You know what the Lithuanian word for pretzel is?
Pretzel?
Pretzel? You don't know. It's a kind of food. It's... Anyway... It's a good example, but I got to learn a few Lithuanian words, I guess. I can go to Google and type in pretzel and then Google and Google will translate it for me. Maybe tomorrow I can give you the word. So anyway, the Western philosophy, they'll bend your mind this way and bend your mind that way. You'll contour your brain in 1,000 different directions. And at the end of all of that mental contortion, what do you get? All you get is a big question mark. That's all you get. So, the point is, if you're trying to read all these philosophers to get enlightenment, you're just wasting your time, Prabhu. It's a royal waste of time. But if you're going in to see in what ways they agree with the Vedas and in what ways they are completely in the dark, then that's all right. Because Prabhupada himself analyzed all of them in that way. Because it's hard to be completely wrong on every point, you know. Most of the philosophers had some, you know, they were right on something at least. But Camus was really off the track. I mean, he was really, really off the track. Camus, the French philosopher
Camus.
He said that actually life has no meaning. But you just have to pretend it has some meaning so you can somehow cope with reality. And he proved that he was a true follower of his own philosophy. He drove his car off a cliff. Committed suicide by driving his car off a cliff. So you can say that he lived his philosophy, he was not a hypocrite. But what is the value of such philosophers, you know? He was a big, big name, Camus, smoking cigarettes. Big, big intellectual, French intellectual, you see. But what is the value of these philosophies? It is simply, Shama eva hi kevalam. It's useless waste of time. If you want real philosophy, study what Srila Vyasadeva is given. Srimad Bhagavatam. You see? Dharma prodhakaita potra padamo nirmatsaranam satam vejam vastavam ashtadam shivadam tapatrayon mudanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune kritikang vairarishvaraha sadyahidya virujyate trakriti vishushpishvishachanat. Completely rejecting all philosophies and religious systems that are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth. Which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such philosophy uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity,
Šita Bhagavatam yra sudaryta didžiojo išminčios Vyasadevos jo brandoje.
Is sufficient in itself for self-realization.
Vien jos pakanka savęs realizacijai.
But neither is there of any other philosophy. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears this philosophy of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes established within his heart. These other philosophies will not establish Krishna in your heart. But by this philosophy, Krishna will come and fully manifest in your heart. You will directly associate with God at every minute. Show me any philosophy that can do that. Only this philosophy given by Vedavyas can do that. So don't become carried away by these stupid, idiotic philosophers. They're simply glowworms. They give out a little pseudo-light. But the real bright sun is the Bhagavatam. It is Krishna himself. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So, tonight, if you'd like to attend lecture, come to Vilnius. Hare Krishna.
Grįžimą su Kiršandas atigalimo ir ačiū.